Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, August 25th, 2023. Hi, Butch.
Hi, Melody. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
You made it to Friday again.
We did. How about that?
So I guess you got a party planned for tonight and tomorrow night and all that stuff.
Well.
Not so much.
Not so much. Okay. Not so much.
But, I understand.
Yeah. So, you?
Oh, well, not a lot planned this weekend. I'm going to try to just relax and enjoy it. Had a grandson in last week. Had a great time, but do a couple of things this weekend, just kind of relax, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I hope to. I may even go fishing tomorrow afternoon. I've been fishing for years. I may go fishing with a friend of mine. Not real sure. We'll find out.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and see what gold did today. We had some pressure in gold, down $3 today in the New York spot price aftermarket. $1,914. Silver was up 11 pennies today at $24.32. Platinum was up $10 at $956. Palladium was down 18, $1,254. The USDX today was stronger by 0.15 at 104.12. Crude oil was up a little over a buck at 80.06. And we have the paper markets. They're all higher. The Dow was up still under 1%. Only up 0.75%, 247 points. S&P was up 29 points, and the NASDAQ was up 126. Asian markets, they were all negative. And let's see, who was down? The Nikkei was down by 2%. Europe was positive across the board. 10-year yield was down just a little bit, 4.231. And that natural gas was up a little over 1% at 2.54. So you had the S&P, NASDAQ, they closed higher, snapping a three-week losing streak on Wall Street. Everybody thinks that after the Jackson Hole meeting that and after Powell's comments that the fear of a rate hike, they're shaking it off. So that's why we've seen a little bit of pressure on that. And it just cracks me up. It really does. It's anyway. And so other than that, it's been kind of a little bit of a quiet thing. I mean, even the all news was really on Jackson Hole. But Powell did say that inflation is still too high. I don't know why Wall Street is shaking off rate hike fears when he is saying that they're prepared to raise rates further. So, you know, what's good is bad, what's bad is good. That's kind of the world that we live in today, Butch.
Oh, it is. It is. If you're waiting for something to make sense today, you're waiting on the wrong train. It's not going to show up.
Yeah.
Nothing makes sense anymore.
Yeah, and if you have your financial investments with Wells Fargo, they're repaying clients. This came out today. $40 million for excessive investment advice fees. So Wells Fargo, they're all, you know. And is anybody held accountable for it? No, they pay $40 million to almost 11,000 clients overcharged for investment advice. Affected accounts, which were open prior to 2014, that was when they had all their troubles about all of those creating accounts and so forth, were overbilled. Wells Fargo also paid a $35 million civil penalty to the SEC. Well, how's that work? It neither admitted nor denied wrongdoing.
But it paid the fines, okay.
Just pay the fines. But I want to know how they can pay the SEC $35 million to the bank. I mean, to the SEC.
I don't know.
You know.
I don't know. But if they were innocent, wouldn't it have been cheaper to just hire lawyers than spend that, than spend $35-40 million? Just a question. I don't know.
No, I don't know. Don't know. I guess you don't want to. You know, that takes the time, and time is money. So it's easier to pay the fine. Yep.
I guess. Yep. Yeah.
So I guess other than that, you know, most, as I mentioned, Treasury sell-off drives 5-year yield to the highest level since 2008. That's a pretty big story there. Again, we're looking at 2008 as these things are going back and revisiting the numbers. You'd think people would kind of get an idea. Well, gee, are we kind of like the same as we were in 2008? Yes, we were. Yes, we are. And the Panama's canal is drying up, and its bonds are getting hit hard. Wait till that story really gets more play in the news. And I actually saw something in there that they're looking at this Panama canal backup as really beginning to affect the supply chain.
Yeah, it says.
Of course, it's going to.
Well, it said Panama Canal threatens 40% of world's cargo ship traffic.
Yeah.
40%. Yeah. I mean, that's a chunk. That's going to make shortages and everything. But not only that, the ships are carrying like 40% less cargo because of low water. So, yeah, that's kind of affect some people. And we ship a lot. U.S. ships a lot. About 2/3 of our canal's traffic is coming from the U.S. So that's huge.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I think we were the first ones to report on this story.
I think we were,
yes. And also, you have a lot of oil. You have a lot of oil tankers going through there. So
there's quite a bit of stuff going on. Just nothing right now, I guess you say, earth-shattering, but it's still stuff that adds up to can make a huge hit on a lot of things, especially on food supply and the economy in the very near future. We're going to see some things rattle us. Melly, I'll put it this way. I don't think we've seen anything yet. I think we're going to see so many things happen in the next few months. We'll get into them. Now the COVID, they want to start giving out vaccines again in the middle of next month for COVID. They're talking about shutdown. We'll get that in a little bit in another different article. But we're going to see things happen this year again, in my opinion, are going to be worse than it was the first time around.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. So, what do you have to talk about today?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to cover some political news first, if you don't care.
Okay, let's do this.
I guess you saw Donald Trump's mugshot, right?
I did. And I watched the debate, too.
Oh, did you? I didn't. I maybe should have, but to me, it's like drinking, I don't know, sour milk. I just, anyway, scowling Donald Trump gives death stare, an unprecedented mugshot. Now, that isn't the stare he gave. I probably agree with him. I think being mad is a good thing to be in a situation like this. But here's what gets me. They're already selling T-shirts and mugs, everything with Donald Trump's mugshot on to raise money for his campaign.
I know.
You know, I do believe, again, my opinion, the more they persecute this man, the more they're going to solidify his base. I do believe that. I don't know how much amount up to him when it comes time for election. But they're not driving Donald Trump supporters away. Not the ones that have been sold on Donald Trump from day one. But they're doing fundraising with his face now, with his mug shot. So I don't know where that's going to go. To me, it's political harassment. I'm convinced of that. But also political theater in a lot of ways, too. Do you agree with that?
I do, you know. And the thing of it is, you know, and again, he had a $200,000 bond. And he's taking out a bail bond.
Yeah, I thought, well, gee, for a man that's a billionaire, $200,000 should be a drop in the bucket.
Absolutely, because the fee is, what 10% or more?
Yes, that's right.
So the thought is, well, you know what? I don't know how many, so I'm not saying. These fees, he's not using his own money. He's using the PAC money for his campaign.
Yep, I agree. I don't know what to think of this or why he would do that. Is he broke?
But I also saw where he transferred the Mar-a-Lago over to his son.
He did, yes. Yeah. He did. I guess that kind of protects that in a sense, doesn't it?
It does. So...
I don't know. There's so much behind this going on. I mean, I've said this before. Ever since before Donald Trump was elected to office, it seemed like they were after him, trying to drain everything kid out of him and challenge him every way he turned. I like to think because he was really trying to do something. That's what I want to believe, but I didn't see that much while he's in office. But they did hound him. So I don't want to think this about it. I know that the mugshot could have been, in my opinion, a way to do that to get publicity. I don't know that to be true, but they're certainly going to raise some money on it. I know that for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I had some things about RFK Jr. that I kind of liked. I did. But he just made a statement that makes me realize that, yep, he's a politician already. RFK Jr. says he would sign an assault weapons ban if it reached his desk. Now, folks, I'm going to read this to you, and I want you to think about doublespeak. Just stop and listen to what he says, and then what he said the first time, he's saying this time. When RFK Jr. was asked about an assault weapons ban, the question was framed to reflect strong Democrat support for such a measure. RFK Jr. responded, "If we can get a consensus on it, if Republicans and Democrats agreed on it, passed Congress, I would sign it." He made this statement about assault weapons ban just minutes after intimating that guns are not the problem. He indicated that Americans have always had guns, and the Americans used to bring firearms to school for gun clubs, and no one thought of shooting at children. And that's very true. I took them to school to hunt with. But RFK Jr.'s admission he would sign an assault weapons ban came just over a week after he used a New Hampshire town hall to stand against the idea of taking away guns. Now, wait a minute, Mr. Kennedy Jr. Are you for it or against it? You're wavering now like a politician. You're going to go whichever way the wind blows. You're saying that you're not for taking away guns. Americans have always had guns, and you're absolutely right. And children used to take guns to school. I know that's true. I did myself. But now you're saying that if the Democrats and Republicans both won the assault weapon ban, you would sign the bill in the law. So, Mr. Kennedy, which way are you going with this? Melody, he came down by 10 notches on the peg with me when he made this statement. You can't have both ways. Are you pro-gun or anti-gun? You can't have both ways, can you?
No, you can't. But you got to remember, he's a liberal.
Yes, he is.
So even though we hear the things that makes him sound, you know, maybe he was the old Democrat, you know, not into the new Democrats' agenda and so forth. I don't know, but as much as I like some of the things he said, you know what? When I saw him exercise without his shirt on, I was done.
Okay. He wasn't that ugly, was he?
Oh, no, but who wants to look at a 70-year-old man's chest? I'm just kidding, ladies and gentlemen. I know most of our listeners are 70-plus, but anyway. No, I know, and that's what we have to be careful of. Because you know what? The one thing that the Democrats are really good at, you know, they don't call it gun control. They call it gun safety.
Of course.
They change the ways in order to make it acceptable. But all politicians do that, too. They pre-market. They market test to see what's acceptable by the majority of people, and then that's what they use. And if it doesn't work, they'll change it until they get it right. So you got to be very careful with him, and that's too bad.
It is too bad. Like I said, that just really made me lose some confidence in him. Not that I would have voted for him in the first place, but I had a little bit of respect for what he was doing for a lot of different reasons. Mm-hmm. But on the gun issue, he just blew it in my mind.
Yeah.
And this, another political commentary on this, and this could be serious or could get serious, put that way. GOP talks of military action in Mexico sparks dire warnings. Now, you saw the debate. You heard him talk about this probably.
I did.
Rising GOC support for the U.S. taking unilateral military action in Mexico against drug cartels is increasingly rattling people on both sides of the border who worry talk of an attack is getting normalized. And it is. Now, folks, I have mixed feelings about this. I want the drug cartel stopped also. But you cannot take an army into a sovereign nation and expect them to sit back and do nothing, even if you come against maybe someone that you're against. You can't just take an army into a sovereign nation. You wouldn't want Mexico coming in here to take down our gangs and our streets, although I like to see it done. But the protocol that you have to go through to do that, you just can't do it that way. Meet them at the border with any necessary power you need to stop them. But you can't cross the border. Wednesday's Republican presidential primary debate featured high-stakes policy disagreements on a range of issues from abortion to the environment, but found near unanimous consensus on the idea of using American military force to fight drug smuggling and migration. I agree, on the border. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis made the strongest pledge on the stage with his response to Fox News moderator Martha McCollum's question asked whether he would support U.S. sending special force to Mexico to take out fentanyl labs, to take out drug cartel operations. Yes, and I would do it on day one, said DeSantis. The governor's eagerness reflects a growing normalization of the idea, which Republicans have embraced from the campaign trail to the halls of Congress. Even more moderate GOP candidates, such as former United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley, and South Carolina Senator Tim Scott have suggested support for some version of unilateral military action against across the Rio Grande. Again, I am all for cooperating with the Mexican government if they want help to stop this. But you cannot go into that sovereign nation with your military to stop anything. You have every right given under God and duty under God to protect your borders by any means necessary. But you don't go into sovereign countries without being invited and take the military across. Melly, what's your opinion?
Well, I think that was a little bit of an eye-opener because you're right. You do what you need to do to keep them out. There was a few of those lines that also were completed with the Mexican approval, so to speak, with the, you know, working in concert with the Mexican government. But the thing of it is the Mexican government – they're not going to go against the cartels. That ain't going to happen.
I'd say a lot of them are in bed with the cartels. So
they're in bed with the cartels.
There you go.
So, you know, it's... And you know what? They still have to get it approved with Congress. You know, so I think that was just a lot of bolster talk or whatever you want to call it. It was just a lot of
bravado.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's dangerous bravado. Very dangerous.
Yes. But it would have to be approved. They just wouldn't be able to do it without getting permission from Congress.
Well, you know how many wars we fought without permission from Congress? So-called wars, police actions that we got involved in without permission from Congress. We can name a lot of those. But anyway, another political commentary, but from a different country. Russia's elite draws one lesson from down plain. Cross Putin and die. And there's break time already.
Yes, it is. And we will be returning. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you, never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. What's next, Butch?
I'm going to finish the article about crossing Putin and dying. When the jet believed, now this, that folks, a lot of questions about this jet going down. Some actually, eyewitnesses said they saw it look like it exploded from the inside out, maybe. And some say it was taking down missiles. But there's actually a video of it getting blown up. I haven't got to see that yet. So I don't know. It does seem kind of strange that the men that were on this plane were all on it and went together. I know from experience that, for example, you don't fly the president and vice president on the same plane anywhere. I wouldn't think you do this with the head of this, the commander and the second in command, whatever. I don't think you do that on one plane. That's just my opinion. That's good. Go against all protocols of security. But anyway, when the jet believed to be carrying Prigozhin and several top commanders of the Wagner paramilitary group fell from the sky west of Moscow on Wednesday, its destruction sent a terrifying message to Russia's elite, even though the cause of the crash may never be conclusively known. Anyone who displays disloyalty will be seen by the state as an enemy that needs to be liquidated, one well-connected Moscow businessman said. Everyone will believe that this was carried out on the orders of the Tsar. We may never know whether this is true or not, but it is frightening everyone. The downing of Prigozhin's plane has bolstered Vladimir Putin's hold on power, at least in the short term, official and analyst said, restoring a reputation for a ruthless, ruthlessness that had been undermined by his hasty response to the Wagner mutiny in June and puddling truce with the renegade warlord. You know, I did wonder about that. Prigozhin invaded Russia, so to speak, got right up next to Moscow and backed out. Seemed like Putin kind of shrugged it off, and then they more or less shook hands and went separate ways. And now the plane supposedly carrying him and his second in charge and the generals all shut down one bunch. Melly, that just doesn't sit quite right. I can't tell you why it isn't right, and it may never prove anything was wrong. But I do know that he was too smart, you know, in most general times, general situations, to put all his eggs in one basket. You follow what I'm saying?
I am.
So that doesn't make any sense. What little bit I've seen in security, you don't put everyone in charge in one plane or one whatever, knowing that these things can happen and do happen. Any comments on that?
No, sir.
Really? Golly, I must have done a good job already. How about that?
Yeah, you're doing fine.
All right.
You're doing fine then, Mr. Butch.
U.S. corporate bankruptcies, guess what, are on the rise. But our economy's doing great. Everybody's doing fine. Everybody's making money. Everybody's happy. In March, Silicon Valley Bank collapsed, plunging its parent company, SVB Financial Group, into bankruptcy a week later. I can't believe that's been back in March. My gosh, it's went by fast. While many expected a wave of bank failures to follow, much of this has since been averted, but cracks have begun to emerge with Moody's recent downgrading of 10 small and mid-sized banks. Across the wider corporate landscape, bankruptcies have begun to tick higher. Overstretched balance sheets coupled with 11 interest rate hikes since last year have added to mounting challenges for companies across many sectors. So far in 2023, over 400. Now, folks, listen to this. So far this year, or the end of August already, over 400 corporations have gone under. Corporate bankruptcies are rising at their fastest pace since 2010, barring the pandemic, and are double the levels seen this time last year. Mel, just stop and think now. Double level from last year was 200 last year, let's say 400 this year. Add that up over the last 3 to 4 or 5 years. That would be probably close to 600 to 700,000 corporations went under. How many can we absorb in this country without basically shutting the whole country down?
Well, they really weren't including the pandemic.
No, they weren't. No, they weren't.
Yeah. So
I don't know, but
not
that's
forget
huge.
To add those on top. Yeah.
That
but as
huge.
You said in the beginning, everything's all good.
Yeah.
We all live in a la la land.
Everybody's happy. Everybody's prosperous. No one get behind. No one is spending money and can't afford trying to pay the bills. Gosh, everything's perfect.
I am not a fan of Elon Musk. I know a lot of people like him, and they think he's the greatest thing that has happened to freedom of speech and all this kind of stuff. And I don't like him. But he did say one time that we were living in a dual reality. But we've been living in that dual reality long before he even said it, and we've been talking about it for how many years, Butch?
Oh,
yes, it's like we do live in two worlds, two reality worlds. And it's really bizarre if you really think about it, and you set up these two different realities. It's how does it work? And maybe that's why it works. The division, the separation of these two different realities. It seems like the markets are working, though. You know, I don't know. It's weird.
Well, you know, I think there's the reason. I think the reason is first off, people want to ignore what's going on because they, like you said, they want to be in a different reality. And secondly, maybe it's a means of self-preservation. If they thought on what's really happening, it might destroy them, so to speak, and mentally, and even wear them out physically because they're worried about what's happening. Maybe that's self-preservation. Pretend like nothing's going on. I'm still paying the bills, so let's just act like everything's hunky-dory.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
You know, that's why they are legalizing marijuana everywhere.
so people can get through it.
so people can figure out what's going on.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway.
Oh, my. And you remember back during the, I know you remember back during the COVID nonsense, buying the up food stamps everywhere, and people started getting more benefits. Well, Biden's food stamp expansion linked to 15% jump in grocery prices. I hadn't thought about that, but it makes sense. Your groceries went up 15% because Biden expanded the food stamp program.
Yep.
A push by the Biden administration to increase food stamp benefits to the tune of one trillion. I never thought about that. $1 trillion increase could be responsible for a 15% rise in prices at the grocery store, according to a government watchdog report. The Department of Agriculture rolled out revised nutritional standards for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, in 2021. They expanded the program by 27% on average from the pre-COVID pandemic levels, the Foundation for Government Accountability found. Overall spending on the program more than doubled between 2019 and 2022, going from $4.5 billion in 2019 to $11 billion in 2022, a study released Thursday by the Government Accountability Group shows. The spending hit $8.6 billion in March 2023, despite some emergency allotments having expired, expected to rise by 5.8% over the course of the year. The expansion is projected to cost U.S. taxpayers more than $1 trillion over the next decade. The increase in spending on food stamps has fueled a rise in grocery prices and contributed to high inflation, the group says. USDA cooked their books to hike food stamps benefits by 27%. Repeat that. USDA cooked their books. They jumbled the figures around, folks, to hike food stamp benefits by 27%, the largest permanent increase in program history. And they bypassed Congress to do it. Jonathan Ingram, Vice President of Policy and Research at the Foundation of Government Accountability, told the Fox News. Data showed the Biden administration's overreach led to massive spikes in grocery prices. They're feeding inflation, not stopping hunger. And that's a very good point that I hadn't dawned on me. We knew about the fiat money feeds inflation. We knew that. We already knew that. And giving away billions and trillions of dollars to everybody, including American citizens, feeding inflation. I hadn't thought about the food stamps, but it makes sense they fed inflation. Comments, Melody?
No, everything that they're doing, and again, on all that, you know, all that food stamp is—it's all fiat dollars. It's not real. There's nothing there. It's a promise to pay. But anyway, but yeah, well, absolutely.
15% increase in food prices.
Well, yeah,
somebody.
And no one's even counting the illegal immigrants.
No. No,
what the
not.
Heck do you think they're getting? No one talks about the dollars on them, what the price tag on they are.
Well, Massachusetts is starting to get in on this little bit of uprising about the illegals in Massachusetts also. People getting all fed up with what's going on. It's going to take a little more than being a little fed up. It's going to take people standing up and demanding this stuff to stop, and I mean demanding it. Same thing with this, we'll get into it a little bit later on maybe on the COVID increase all of a sudden. Are we going to go through the same thing again? Are we going to tolerate that again in the world and in America? Anyway, nearly a fourth of states introducing biometric digital IDs and more than half Republican red states. Now, folks, I want to say this. Back in 2018, 2019, my driver's license came up to renewal, and I would not do a digital picture. And I'm not going to explain all the ins and outs of it. I would not give them a fingerprint of my face to put on database. That went eventually to Interpol worldwide. I would not do that. I still haven't done that. At least I haven't given to them voluntarily. They may got it otherwise, but I didn't walk into the DMV and say, here, take me a picture and put it on digital thumbprint of my face all over the world. I haven't done that, and I still got by without it. I got another 4 or 5 years to go before I have to do it again. We'll see what happens if I live that long. But digital IDs, I knew from way back then, was going to lead into the Mark the Beast system and can total control of the people. Let me explain this to you if I can to read this article just briefly. If there is one indisputable fact when it comes to the epic changes now enveloping the world as everything, even money and humans themselves become digitalized, it's this. The race to install a global totalitarian control grid is taking place outside the normal left-right paradigm. Everything you see being argued within a left-right dynamic is a smokescreen meant to distract and deceive. And, folks, that's very true. That goes all through politics, about all through all issues in this country. Conservative Republican states like Iowa, Mississippi, Georgia, Utah, and Ohio are just as eager to advance the digital ID, digital currency recipe for globalist control as liberal Democrat states like California, Michigan, Maryland, and Hawaii. I hate to keep repeating myself, I say it again because I'm afraid it is not sinking in for the vast majority of Americans. Digital ID plus CBDC equals total control, tracking of all human activity. Folks, they've stated that fact. Total control, tracking of all human activity. All, A-L-L. Once these two totalitarian tools are in place, there will be no turning back. The beast system will be hovering over us 24/7, watching everywhere we go, everything we buy, what we are eating, who we are choosing to connect with, and whether we've submitted to the latest injection that promises to protect the herd. All this data will be transferred instantaneously to third parties who have no inherent right to it, other than the fact that people voluntarily handed over them. That's important, folks. The digital picture and driver's license and state IDs were voluntary. No, most of them didn't know what they were doing. I understand that. But you volunteered it. Oh, they may say they need these digital tools for other reasons, but those of us who are awake and aware of the game plan know full well where it's heading. They want to monitor your buying and living habits so they can award you a social credit score, then offer rewards or punishments based on how they determine you are using scarce resources such as food, especially meat, eggs, and dairy, gasoline, natural gas, electricity, etc. They will also know if you're up to date on your shots. Melody, that's pretty much a right in a nutshell what's going on. Digital ID plus digital currency means total control, does it not?
Absolutely, it does. I mean, we talked about, Dave brought an article yesterday about WorldCoin where, you know, they're taking, the word escapes me, and it was just yesterday that we talked about it. Eye scans.
Oh, okay. Yes.
I think you and I talked about it too.
They have a
ton of people. They're paying people in order to do this, or they're saying it's going to be a reward program, and that's all part of it too. You know, it's all going to connect together in order for them to be able to do the tracking and everything about us, our health. You know, with the shortage of medications. You know, if you're not doing what they're telling you to do, guess what? You're not going to get the medication if there's shortages. They're only going to give it to the people that it's really going to help.
And if you don't have money put in your account, how are you going to buy food?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so if you don't comply with their little rules and, you know, their good social, you know, and again, you might hear everybody talk about China being our enemy and everything, but I'll guarantee you, you know, China's little social scale of to have their people obey and to behave, I'll guarantee you we've got the same people looking at that and saying, now that's a pretty good sample that maybe we can try over here.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
You hear all this crap about China's our enemy, but as much as we might think they are, our politicians don't. Governments don't. The elite do not. So,
well, the only question in my mind is, there's not that all of them, including the United States and Russia, maybe in China, the world powers want total control of this world. Total control. I think what they're vying for is who's going to be the head of it.
Well, there was a book written. I talked to Dave about this. I don't know if it was Tuesday or I think it was last week that we talked about it, where there's four billionaires that are basically have the world that they want, and they work together. They're not competing against one another. They're working together to accomplish this. And it's the four billionaires. It's Thiel, it's Musk, it's Zuckerberg, and an Anderson. And they're all billionaires. They all have their own individual, and that's all part of it. They work with governments. You know, they get these government contracts, and it's their, you know, it's the path, and nothing is going to change it.
No, no. Too late now. Maybe at one time. And again, it's...
Well, no, I mean, it's you know, unless there are World War III and everything gets blown to smithereens and, you know, they're... So, but anyway, I mean, all of their technology and everything is stored up in the cloud. So what's that mean during a nuclear war? I don't know. But what I do know is we're heading into a break. We'll be right back. Don't say me.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom with Pastor Butch Paul. We're in the last segment of the program today. What's next, Butch?
Here we go again. Another food processing plant burns to the ground. You probably heard that too. Mm-hmm. The American Plant Food Corporation's fertilizer plant in Bartlett, Texas, near Round Rock, reportedly caught on fire at 8:30 p.m. on August 20th. The plant has since burned to the ground. The Bartlett Volunteer Fire Department received a call to come put it out at 9901 North Highway 95. The fertilizer plant said it is vital to the local community and to Texas State. Because of voluminous hazardous and highly flammable chemicals at the plant, firefighters decided it was best not to try to extinguish the flames with water as they typically would for the other types of fires. Hazard crews were on the site all night, including Temple, who was monitoring overnight until Round Rock hazard crews came to relieve them. You know, just last year we had a rash of food plants, both livestock and grain and the other suppliers, and now we have a fertilizer plant being burned up in a fire. Melody, I think anyone with any sense at all can see that they're driving this world to a food shortage. I mean, rice prices are going through the roof because India is not exporting rice. They raise more rice, I guess, in any country in the world and export it to the Asian countries. I think anyone has any sense at all can see the food situation growing. Don't you think so?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, India's kind of protecting themselves. They're limiting their, so.
You can't blame them. They're taking care of their own
people
first.
They're taking care of their own people. Well, and, they don't want over a billion people hungry, that's for sure.
No, I agree.
I get a little testy there.
The Biden steel tariff will raise our canned food prices up to 30%. That to me is a hit, folks, a huge hit. Americans panic search. What did the panic search? They're panic searching live off grid as housing crisis worsens and Democrat cities implode. What piqued their interest in a sudden panic by some Americans searching live off grid with internet hitting the highest level in 5 years? The driving force behind finding a rural piece of land for dirt cheap, buying or building a tiny home, installing solar panels, and sourcing your own food and water might have to do with the worst inflation storm in a generation while Democrat cities implode under the weight of soaring violent crime. We're not going to speculate on the exact cause, but we'll give readers an understanding that a combination of the worst housing affordability crisis in decades, plus out-of-control crime and progressive-run cities, could be some of the largest drivers pushing people to explore living in the sticks. With the introduction of SpaceX's Starlink 2019, remote workers no longer have to live in crowded, dirty, and dangerous metro areas. Many found this out during the exodus of major cities during COVID. Capitalizing on off-grid living is Home Depot, which now sells tiny homes called Getaway Pad. We've also seen the RV Industry Association report mobile time this year that parked mobile home shipments are surging on a monthly basis versus the same months last year, yet another indication of housing affordability issues. Living off the grid can have many benefits, including financial independence, self-sufficiency, preparedness, and security, as well as promoting an active lifestyle, better sleep, and a healthier diet. No need for a Peloton bike or Eli Lilly's fat drug, Ozempic. So, yeah, and on top of that, they come up now, and I'm trying to find it here, a new way to build home, Mildy. It's made out of styrofoam. Did you see that?
No, I did not. Styrofoam?
Yep. State's first homemade foam built in Jonestown, Texas. With a breathtaking view overlooking Lake Travis, a new home built in Jonestown is drawing some attention from neighbors. The nearly 7,500 square foot has zero wood, brick, or insulation. It's completely made of foam. I think the neighbors might have thought it was crazy when they saw the truckloads of foam pull up. Aaron Roswell, the homeowner of the three-story house in Jonestown, explained. Now, folks, pay attention. 7,500 square foot, three-story home made out of styrofoam. Roswell, a former contractor himself, first heard of homes being built with foam 20 years ago. He said if he ever was going to build his dream home, foam was the material he wanted to use. Strata International Corporation, Inc., and a Phoenix-based company that developed this groundbreaking building technique, it is known as SABS, or Sabe Alternative Building System, named for its creator, Dr. Nasser Sabe. The company creates a large blocks of foam, which are made up of 98% air, that can be shaped and glued together to create the skeleton of the home. Pieces of foam are glued together using a type of liquid foam that cures fast. The walls, the floor, the stairs, everything is foam except for the foundation. Once the shape of the house is built, the company coats the entire structure with a patent concrete mixture known as Sabscrete. A quarter inch of the mixture is placed on the entire home to give it a hard shell and most durable structure. Both the foam and concrete mixture are 100% recyclable, according to the company. The company said the SABS method provides major cost savings to the homeowner and the builder during construction. Because the foam is lightweight, the need for a large construction crew is not necessary. The work site is quieter than construction site you are used to seeing. The crew does not use saws to cut the foam. Instead, they use a tool called a hot knife that can cut any shape you want out of the foam. Sabe said the foam home does not need insulation at all because the foam is already a great insulator. The company claims the system is the most efficient insulator out of any other building system. That means less energy used to heat and cool your home. There are also cost savings on maintenance that regular homes go through, like such as termite control or treating mold. No wood in your house means no termites, and the foam will not mold, Sabry said. Sabry said the company has permits to build up to build in all 50 states that it obtained through the International Code Council. The company says its homes can be withstand earthquakes and fire, and is fire resistant. So, and by the way, they will stand up in winds of, I think it said 275 miles an hour winds. So there you go.
Well, that's kind of interesting. Yeah.
That is interesting.
Did they give costs at all?
No, it didn't say anything about cost. But that'd be cheaper. Because there's very, very low labor. It's not labor intensive. You know, just to have crew, I kept, I think, like 7 million. If I was 5 to 7 million, build the whole thing. You know, set it up. I mean, it's interesting. If I were going to build a new home, I'd look into that. I really would.
Well, they build homes by, 3D printers or whatever they're called. Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you this. Todd and I were doing a program tonight. Talking about this 3D home being built with a printer. We had a caller call in and say the man was lying. It can't be done. And Todd tried to explain to him, this is true. It really happens. But anyway, I mean, he would not believe it. He couldn't believe it. U.S. Embassy in Belarus advises Americans to depart immediately.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, this may not be a world war yet, but it certainly turned into a regional war, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Today, August 21st, the United States Embassy in Belarus has issued a warning against Americans traveling to the country. It also warned U.S. citizens to depart Belarus immediately. The Lithuanian government on August 18th closed two border crossings with Belarus at Tverkis, Slavici, and Sumskas. The four border crossings at, and I'm not going to try these names, I can't even read their names, towns, but they are currently, the Polish, Lithuanian, and Latvian governments have stated the further closures of border crossings with Belarus are possible. Do not travel to Belarus due to Belarusian authorities' continued facilitation of Russia's unprovoked attack on Ukraine, the buildup of Russian military force in Belarus, the arbitrary enforcement of local laws, potential of civil arrest, the risk of detention, and the embassy's limited ability to assist U.S. citizens residing in or traveling to Belarus. U.S. citizens in Belarus should depart immediately. Consider departing via the remaining border crossings with Lithuania and Latvia or by plane. U.S. citizens are not permitted to enter Poland over the overland from Belarus. Do not travel to Russia or Ukraine. So, yeah, folks, it's heating up. So far, like I said, it's just a regional war. But it's spreading to neighboring countries very quickly. And it's intensifying, I think, in a lot of different places with a lot of anxiety on borders. Would you agree, Melody?
I agree.
So, we will see. I don't know what's going to happen there. But I do want to get a couple minutes on this issue here, then we'll get to the good news report.
Okay.
COVID 2.0, Biden planning to lock down and mask America starting in mid-September, TSA whistleblowers tell InfoWars. Whistleblowers from the Transportation Security Administration and Border Patrol say that another round of lockdowns, mask mandates, and other tyrannies are coming down to the pike mid-September, compliments of the fake President Joe Biden. The folks, they are, this was on ABC News, they're going to roll out another vaccination in mid-September. Some places are already mandating masks, even colleges, the one college in Georgia is too. According to reports, the COVID-19 2.0 scenario will be incremental now that the corporate-controlled media is signaling the alleged emergence of another highly mutated variant of the Wuhan coronavirus that they are calling BA286. Even the New York Post, which is normally more skeptical of official government narratives, is fear-mongering about BA286, asking a headline, should we be wearing masks? I'm not going to go through all this. I don't have time to. But I can say, here we go again. By mid-October, it is expected that forced masking will once again become a thing probably across society as a whole. With that will come mandatory lockdowns and all the same tyranny that pushed them on Americans the first time, even though this time around is expected to be much worse in scope. Biden administration already buying COVID-19 equipment, hiring pandemic safety protocol enforcers. I'll repeat that. Hiring pandemic safety protocol enforcers. The federal government has already been purchasing COVID-19 equipment and hiring advisors on safety protocols, according to exclusive finding from War Room. And I don't, again, I don't have time to go through all this, but folks, they're lining up for September and October for another huge move in a lockdown for another COVID variation. And the vaccination will start rolling out the middle of September. Get ready for it. And doctors, during the last pandemic, received cash rewards for every patient they got vaccinated. Now, this is a fact. This is a natural fact. This did not come from some kind of right-wing nut job magazine or something. This really happened. American doctors were paid financial rewards for every patient they commenced to get vaccinated with COVID mRNA vaccines. Shots leaked documents have revealed. Doctors who were offered cash bonuses from Big Pharma linked health insurance companies, with the payouts increasing on an incremental scale as the number of vaccinated patients grows. Now, this is a for fact, Melody. For example, if 30% of this is an insurance company called Anthem, A-N-T-H-E-M, members got jabbed, a qualifying doctor received $100 per newly jabbed member. If 40% of them got jabbed, the doctors received a $150 bonus for each one. 50%, $175 bonus for each one. 60%, $200 bonus. 75%, $250 bonus for every jabbed patient. One pediatrician earned over $750,000 extra for vaccinations paid to him. Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, BCBS Medicaid. That's what this is a fact. It's not made up. And you really believe that they're doing this for their own good. Comments, Melody?
You know, it's interesting because you're already beginning to hear people who are always concerned about COVID. They'll start saying, well, you know, the numbers are increasing. You know, the numbers are increasing. And it's just like, yeah, okay. But so, yeah, it just adds confirmation to what you're saying. And doctors get paid not only just for this, but a lot of these doctors get paid for so many for the using different other pharmaceuticals. And I can remember CAT scans when they first came out, and they would take the machine. Doctors got paid a fee for every CAT scan. That it was like $250 for every CAT scan that they did. It's not an uncommon practice, but to the but to what people went through during and the shutdowns and everything, it does make this a little bit different.
Yes, it does. It does. And I got we're about out of time. Short good news story. Utility worker honored for act of kindness at a Burger King drive-thru. A utility worker in Chesterfield, Virginia has been recognized for a selfless act of kindness in a drive-thru line helping a stranger in need. Calvin Gaudet said he was on his way to Subway for lunch after his assignments for the morning. I was going to Subway, and then God said, go to Burger King, Claudette said. While in Burger King drive-thru line, he noticed that the woman in the vehicle behind him looked very upset. At that moment, Claudette told staff members at the drive-thru window that he would pay for the woman's meal. The small gesture would go a very long way. Little did Claudette know that the woman in the car, Barbara Waters, was heading to her husband's funeral. It just touched my heart so that someone would take the time to do something like that for me, said Waters. Some people just think, oh, it's such a small gesture. It made me feel like there was a light at the end of the tunnel. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, it is.
And it's a black guy, by the way, and a white lady. How about that?
Aw, yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. Yes, very nice.
There you go.
All right. Great way to end the week and the program today, and we'll be back on Monday. Be safe this weekend. Good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day, and pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. Got me.